Cricket on the brain 24/7, 365. Well, every Monday, Corbin Middlemass and ex-test opener Ed Cowan join forces on the ABC Cricket Podcast.
And I watch him bat and I think it's like Brian Lara on steroids.
Featuring the best analysis and biggest results.
We're not better off trying to blood someone else in a series like this.
And the stories that have your cricket thread popping off.
So if I'm buying the Renegades, why would I want to purchase that?
ABC Cricket Podcast, every Monday on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. Because there's no off-season in cricket.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Otro centro más de Messi, va pasado. A ver que le pega Messi al arco.
Now, I don't speak Spanish, but I think we all get the gist of what that Argentinian commentator is talking about. What does it tell you when Lionel Messi, a man who has completed football, is in tears at the end of a game? I reckon it says something about the enormity of the comeback he engineered, the pressure he is carrying, the weight of expectation. On the other side of the coin was an Egyptian side seething with a deep sense of injustice. They felt robbed by the referee and said as much, players and coach. The claims amplified by recent days of scrutiny on FIFA and tournament integrity. We've got a lot to chew on today. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Soccer's legend Mark Schwarzer is here. Having witnessed another Lionel Messi, Argentina, great escape. They get out of jail again, Mark. Egypt, they took it to the defending champs. Led 2-0 before the South Americans fought back. You were in the stadium. How do you sum that up?
I mean, almost disbelief. Like, I thought, like most people in that stadium, that Argentina were gone. Most people around the world who were watching the game thought Argentina were out of this tournament. And it looked very, very likely that they were going to go out. Mustafa Shubir in goal for Egypt was outstanding in that first 45 minutes, put off some unbelievable saves, obviously saves a Messi penalty, with some brilliant saves afterwards, one from Julian Alvarez. And you just felt like this is just not going to be Argentina's day. And then obviously Egypt were then ruthless in on the counter-attack. They themselves scored some good goals, really good goals in the counter-attack. And they looked pretty comfortable. I mean, yeah, they did ride their luck in the first half, but second half they looked a lot more comfortable. And when it was, you know, and Argentina were obviously pushing to get the equaliser, and then when they broke and scored the first goal, but then was obviously ruled out for a foul, you just thought, really, that this is coming and this is going to happen to them. And then obviously they kept going and then scored the one that was then given as a 2-0, and you felt that they're in really, really comfortable position there. And there's you sense in the stadium that there were plays on that pitch from Argentina that felt like this could be it. They took a little bit of time to get going again to try and build up a bit of momentum. And Lautaro Martinez, I think, made a big difference when he came on. Ruffled a few feathers, had a big, big chance, which he missed from about 5-6 yards out. Difficult, but you know, a player of his quality, I expected him at least to get it on target. And you felt, okay, if they can get one back, that would be a game changer. And of course, they do. And then the game just flips on its head. And you felt that the minute that goal went in, it wasn't a real, it was panic a little bit from Egypt, but not too bad. And it was still reasonably controlled. Of course, once Messi scores the equaliser, the place goes berserk. And you look at the Egyptian players, they look shocked. They looked like they're out of this game already. And it's no surprise that Argentina, for me, went on to win it. But you've got to be devastated for Egypt because they were so close to pushing an extra time. They should have gone to extra time. And a moment's lapse of concentration cost them.
Lionel Messi in tears at full time before being joyously tossed into the air by his teammates. The Argentinian coach, so emotional he couldn't complete his post-match interview.
No puedo levantar la mirada, lo siento. Estoy muy emocionado.
What does it tell you? I mean, these are people who have scaled the heights of world football. To see that emotion, what does that say to you, Mark?
I think it says to you how much pressure is on these guys. You know, Argentina are obviously world champions. A lot of these players are actually world champions themselves. And to see their reaction, firstly against Cabo Verde, very much a lesser nation, way down on the scale in terms of teams that should be competing with Argentina. I mean, when I say competing, they shouldn't be pushing Argentina as much on paper, of course. They received a real shock and a real wake-up call after that game. Today was even a bigger one, and today was a case of a game against Egypt, even though Egypt, you know, have got history in the game. But even that, you could, I felt that the Argentinian players just knew the pressure and the expectations that on is on them and from Argentina, that had they have lost that game, how they would have been ridiculed, how they would have been heavily criticized for it. And I think that third goal and the winning goal being scored just changed, that you could see when the goal goes in, they show Scaloni on the touchline and he puts his hands to his face. It's almost like you feel like, is he going to have a bit of a breakdown? What's he going to do? Is he going to cry? Is he going to cheer? You don't know what he's going to do. And that's the pressure. For me, that is just the emotional element of that game, the pressure, what's at stake. And if they were to go out at that stage, it would have been for them and for Argentina a disaster. That after the game, the final whistle goes, for me, that's why so many players are crying. That's why you see Lionel Messi crying. That pressure coming out, almost that disbelief that they have turned this around, and then the relief of turning it around and still being in this tournament.
But it's still on for Argentina. It's been epic in Atlanta. A game that had everything. A game that pushed the defending champions to the limit.
And it shows you a player of his caliber, what he's achieved in the game in Lionel Messi, would react that way as well.
The first player in history to miss twice from the penalty spot in a World Cup. He has 8 goals for the tournament. He's 39. He could have 10. Is he taking a penalty if they win another one? I think he's 78% from the penalty spot, whereas, you know, the upper tier guys who are closer to mid-80s, even high 80s.
I think it really depends on him. I really think it depends on how he feels about it. Look, and the thing about it is, I actually think his record at World Cups is worse. I think it's only 50% at World Cup. His record in games isn't great at World Cups at all. I mean, you're a brave man to take it away from Lionel Messi, but I think there's got to be a serious rethink about whether he should be their penalty taker in normal time, right? Because they've got a number of players that could take penalties, and having missed two already at this World Cup, there certainly is something that's not quite right, whether it's the moments lacking in self-belief, believe it or not, from Messi, but the record isn't great.
The African nation, we've got to steer into, they were furious in the aftermath of this game. Egypt took issue with a disallowed goal in the 58th minute because a borderline foul in the lead-up overturned the goal. Some would say a clear foul, depends on how you see it. Then a borderline foul in the lead-in to the Argentine winner was denied the other way. Egypt revealed they actually had asked this referee not to officiate this game. Coach Hassan described it as an injustice. Those sentiments were echoed by his players who felt that they were robbed.
No fair, no fair. Referee, no fair.
Hassan went on to say, it's all about money. They want Messi to stay in the tournament. I do not want to put it nicely here with beautiful wording. We have been treated unfairly today. We have suffered injustice. It's my own way of speaking up and standing up. I'm not going to watch another match in this tournament. Is this garden variety coach grumbling after a defeat, or does he have a point?
It's obviously bitter disappointment. They're beating the current world champions 2-0 with 11 minutes to play. I believe that the disallowing of the goal was the correct decision. You know, we know with VAR today, we know that they go and check the first phase of play, what happened, that the turnover of possession, was there a foul? That happens all the time. I think it's a foul. Whether you like VAR's interjection in that moment or not, that's another story. But I think in today's world, that is a genuine foul. I also don't think there is enough of a touch or contact on Mo Salah for it to be a penalty. What I will say is, though, if the referee awarded a penalty in that game, VAR's not overturning it. I think it stays as a penalty. I think it's one of those ones. I think it's on the borderline. It's awarded, it stays. If it's not awarded, it's not given, because they don't feel there's enough to warrant that. And look, we've seen it at this World Cup. They more often than not will let play continue. And they've done it throughout the whole tournament. And I think it's been really good. I think it's really worked well at times. Yes, there's been decisions where they've not called when there's generally been foul. It's certainly in game, in other parts of the field. But in general, that is a part of the game that needs to be cleaned up. The constant throwing themselves to the ground, trying to win, trying to convince, trying to con the referees, the officials of awarding penalties and free kicks. So I'm a fan of that. And I get there's going to be discussion about it. And I understand that people are going to be disappointed. They're going to accuse. We've seen stuff already in this tournament that would lead possibly people to think that maybe there's a reason for that could be true. I think it's a lot of emotion speaking, a lot of bitter disappointment. Coming away from the game, the only thing I would say is that Egypt had three yellow cards and a red card. Obviously, one of the staff was shown a red card, and Argentina had none. I was surprised by that stat. I didn't realize it until right at the end of the game that that was the case. And I was surprised that no Argentinian player received a yellow card, because I believe there was enough incidents in the game where they could have easily been given yellow cards. So that, for me, is the only point where you kind of go, that didn't seem right. But the rest of it, I might be one of the few, but I thought the referee did a pretty decent job.
I feel like normally a coach grumbling about a referee, I'd just be like, sour grapes. You know, I've seen this enough over the journey. But I just wonder whether this is the weight of the scandal from Faller and Balogun. When you sow seeds of doubt around what is and is not fair on one instance, it can cast a shadow over the entire tournament. And is this the tournament paying a price for what's happened in the last 72 hours leading into the United States-Belgium game?
I think, yeah, of course. When something is overturned or suspended in match tournament, where it's very rare that actually even happens, and the way in which it's happened, the way it's been kind of announced and portrayed from certain parts of the world, it's understandable that people are going to question stuff. And that's the predicament that we find ourselves in right now. I feel for Balogun, because it's not him. It's not him making that decision. He was freed to play, and I thought the Belgium coach was exceptional in after the game and speaking to him and acknowledging, look, it's not your fault. You're obviously the point of discussion, but it's not you. You know, you've had no decision in this. I understand it. I understand people's frustration. I understand people questioning decisions. But watching the game today, I didn't come away from the game at all feeling like there was an injustice. I don't feel there was any bias. I really don't. And I'm very neutral in terms of, there's a fairy tale in Messi continuing, but there's also an incredible story of if Egypt knock Argentina out. So for me, it's about, I mean, I was involved in an incredibly entertaining, phenomenal game of football that there's so much emotion involved in it. And obviously that spills over at times.
Argentina will next play Switzerland, because they got past Colombia in a game that was not even a shade as dramatic or eventful or dynamic, I suppose, as the one that you covered. But, gee, it was tense. A cagey nil-all draw. It ends in penalties. Neither of these nations have a particularly good record when it comes to penalties. The Swiss hold their nerve. Did you see enough to suggest that they can push Argentina, potentially get themselves into a semi-final from Switzerland?
Absolutely. They're in a position now where they've given themselves a chance, because they're still in the competition. We've seen Argentina in the last two rounds against unfancied opponents, let's put it that way, like teams that people didn't expect to push Argentina as much as they did on paper. Argentina are there. They're vulnerable. They've got deficiencies. You've already seen two teams score each two goals against them. They're there to be attacked. They're there to be get at. There's vulnerabilities. So there's going to be a lot of hope taken from that performance. Switzerland was a pretty memorable day, let's say that. I mean, the first time ever score a penalty in a penalty shootout, 2006, had a penalty shootout against Ukraine, missed all their penalties and got knocked out, having not conceded a goal and were not beaten at the tournament. They went out in 90 minutes. Throughout the tournament, they went out not losing a single game. I mean, what that one out, which is incredible. So Granit Xhaka to become the first Swiss player to score in a penalty shootout at a World Cup for Switzerland is pretty phenomenal.
Xhaka scores! The keeper got a touch, but the power from Granit Xhaka makes it 1-1 in the shootout.
The fact that you've got an option to get into a quarterfinal, and knowing that you've never ever scored in penalty shootouts, that is itself adds extra dimension to it. And look, I like Switzerland. I think, you know, both sides. I did Colombia against Portugal in the group stage, and I thought Colombia were outstanding. And I thought, wow, this team could go quite a long way in this tournament. So I'm a little bit surprised by their performance. I didn't think they were anywhere near as good as what they were when they played against Portugal. Maybe that's also to do with Switzerland and their ability to break them down and to nullify them. The Swiss team have some real talent. The big question will be whether Manzambi will be fit. He's a really good midfield player. He's someone that can really go at people, great on the ball. And Bolo up front, I'm a big fan of. I've watched him a lot in the Bundesliga when he was playing for Borussia Mönchengladbach. He's got real power, real pace, really difficult to get off the ball. So I think there's some really good matchups. And of course, it's Argentina and the pressure of Argentina, what those shoulders carry of each every single one of those people in that squad. I mean, it's an intriguing battle, and I don't even know what to think about it really. On paper, of course, Argentina for me are favourites, but that means nothing. And Switzerland are going to give it everything, and they're going to be a real challenge. They're a different challenge that Argentina have come across so far in this tournament.
That is the last quarterfinal. Sequentially, the first one is France-Morocco, and this is just maybe the pick of the bunch. Oh, I guess Norway-England will get that as well, but there's so much baked into it from a geopolitical sense. I'm also interested, I mean, Morocco's a nation who sacked its very successful but defensive coach to try and evolve into a more attacking threat. Then you've got France, who are like firepower deluxe, but then just had to scrap it out against Paraguay. And I loved hearing Kylian Mbappe say, "We showed we're not only a team that plays flashy attacking football. If we have to put our hands in the shit, we'll put our hands in the shit. They thought we'd show up in tuxedos, make some fancy moves. Football's not just that. We did it today. We're better than them." And when you think about that contrast, like a team known for its flash, who has now shown a propensity to roll up its sleeves, and a team that has been known to be dour but is trying to evolve into a more attacking threat, plus all the sort of historical stuff that's baked into it. Oh my God, Mark, like this feels like it could be, you know, one of the games of the tournament, if not the.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope they just get better and better as the tournament goes on, because we've seen some incredible games up until this point. And it's an intriguing matchup. And again, France, for me, are overwhelming favourites in this game. But Morocco have done really, really well. And you can't underestimate them. I'm sure they won't underestimate them. France's performance against Paraguay, rightly, I get what Kylian Mbappe is saying. You know, they were given a completely different challenge, one that they've not come across for probably some time. You know, Paraguay took the approach that they thought they could manhandle them, muscle them, provoke them, play everything other than try and beat them at football. And I get it, because man for man, Paraguay are nowhere near as good as France. And I get they have to look at a different approach. That's what football's about, finding different ways to put your opponent off. One could argue, and it's a valid argument, to say that Paraguay took it too far. And I'm in that part as well. I think France, what they did really well was they had to adapt. No player lost their head. They were being provoked constantly, and I thought they handled themselves really, really well. And that was a real big tick in terms of their character and their ability to see how far they can go in this tournament. Like I said before, I see them as favourites to win the tournament. They're a much changed side under Didier Deschamps. I wasn't sure whether Didier Deschamps could make the changes. I thought at the Euros there were a lot more dull of a team. They were nowhere near as flashy as Kylian Mbappe said that they have been known for. They're a phenomenal side, player for player. I'm a massive Michael Olise fan. I think he's sensational. Doué, and of course Mbappe, is shown in this tournament once again what a world-class player he is. They got really good defensive setup, but Morocco's got pace and they've got belief, and they're not going to be afraid. They're going to see it as a major scalp if they can beat France because of the history. So it just sets itself up once again for a battle. And I hope there's going to be a really entertaining game of, not necessarily end-to-end, but a more of an open game and a real footballing sort of education in terms of both teams performing really, really well. And let's hope we're all entertained and come away from that game saying, that is the best game I've seen in a long, long time.
Spain-Belgium. Belgium set tongues wagging with a 4-1 victory over the United States. I don't know if you saw their social media, but suggesting try and overturn that, just adding a little, twisting the knife on the way out, the Belgians. Have they got another gear to take down the competition's quiet achievers who are just going about their business efficiently, Spain, it feels like?
So I'm going to say, I have to hold my hand up and say, I did enjoy every moment of that game, Belgium against USA. Obviously, we've got a history and more recent history. It's great that you know, look, the reality set in. That's the bringing down to earth for the US. And I'm not surprised by the result at all. They're, you know, player for player, they're not a patch on Belgium. And Belgium finally delivered. You know, they delivered at this World Cup. That's something that they hadn't really performed that well so far. And they had to deliver, and they did, and they had the best motivation leading up to the game, and they stood up and they were accounted for. And it was a great performance. I really enjoyed watching them play because they play with such intensity. They were just player for player better all over the pitch. You know, it's a different opponent now in Spain. We saw Spain-Portugal. We saw the closeness of that. I didn't think Spain played particularly well in that game. And I think they've got more to come. I think they're such a really well-organized side and you know, have got an abundance of talent all over the pitch. And if Belgium continue to get better, if they continue this path and get better, it sets up for another like excellent game of football.
Norway, England, both nations coming off famous victories. The Norwegians, 5.6 million population, all enraptured with that win over Brazil. England to knock over Mexico at the Azteca. Wow. So much I feel is going to hinge or focus on Erling Haaland. Weirdly, is England kind of well-placed to manage the threat given how much they've been exposed to him, I imagine, those players through the Premier League?
Yeah, I suppose to a large degree. There's obviously players come up against him all the time. Not that players have been able to stop him because look at his goal-scoring record.
Gets away from his man, shoulder up, and he's lifted it up for Haaland! He plunders again!
So, yeah, there's an element of knowing exactly what you're coming up against, but then how do you stop him? No one's really been able to work that out yet. So, I mean, the guy is a sensation. He's a phenomenon. He's a goal-scoring machine. And, yeah, you could argue and say, well, what else does he do? It doesn't matter when he scores so many goals. It doesn't matter when he defines game and wins games like that, you know? And that's the thing, right? We've seen it already in this tournament with certain players that they're not really, they're not doing what they're there for. They're not backing up their records or their performances in the past. They're not delivering on this stage. So they're going to be criticized because they're not adding anything else. And we've seen that also in the Premier League with Erling Haaland. When he doesn't score, people question what other contributions he brings to the team and the game. And there is a valid argument with that, but there's not too often he doesn't score. And that's the thing, right? So for me, he's one of the best strikers in the world. I still think Harry Kane's slightly above just because of longevity and the amount of goals he scored continuously year after year after year for a long period of time. But Haaland is very, very close. Two teams that are coming up against each other that have had, like you said, remarkable results. On paper, Norway beating Brazil is a far bigger accomplishment. And I would 100% agree with that. I mean, to knock out Brazil with the history and the expectation was phenomenal. They were great. Norway were great value for it, deserved it, could have won the game by more. Whereas England, the circumstances, playing in the Azteca, playing in over 2,200 metres at altitude where Mexico have been camping there for the last 4 weeks and have acclimatised and have rolled teams over, the way in which England approached that game. Of course, had they not gone down to 10 men, would have been a different game. And I think England would have won the game comfortably. But the way in which they had to adapt, you know, dig in, fight, scrap, was brilliant. And it's great to see. And it's been one of the best performances. And I've seen it reported by many, many people. One of the best performances they've seen of an England team at a World Cup for a very, very long time, or even at any level for a very, very long time.
It felt in the build-up, it never felt like a round of 16. It still now doesn't feel like a round of 16. It feels almost like we won a final or something. This last moment where the referee takes the whistle to his mouth and you know that you overcame it. 40-50 minutes with 10 men in the altitude against the home country, against a strong Mexican team. You just like, yeah, this is a moment of joy and it is a heroic performance and a heroic result in the end.
It was another phenomenal game to watch.
Did England win that one? Did they beat Norway?
You know what? The conditions are a major factor in this. They're in Miami, where I'll be at, and I'll be commentating on this game. And the conditions are really, really humid. It's tropical. It's going to be a different pace of game. Both sides haven't played there yet in this tournament. Both sides are going to find out how hot it is and how difficult it is to play in Miami. So it's going to be a different tempo of game. So it poses different challenges. On paper, yes. You know, again, we'll say England should go through, but you look at Norway and you look at how they've performed at this tournament, and we talked about Erling Haaland in particular. I've said at the beginning of the tournament, I put Japan and Norway as potential dark horses. I think it's for those ones. It's almost like a flip of a coin. It really is, because I think they're both very, very good sides who are having a great run so far in this tournament.
Four belting fixtures to come. I can't believe it. Mark, thanks so much for your analysis. I appreciate it.
No problem. Pleasure.
That's all for today. Tomorrow we will hear from Kevin Prince-Boateng, the German Ghanaian player who has been lighting up your screens with his analysis for SBS. A great chat. Can't wait to bring it to you. Today's episode was produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Telefe Argentina and SBS for the extra audio used in this episode.